Have you ever talked with someone who's been to the Festival of Pacific Arts and Culture, FestPAC? People say it's like diving into the Pacific Ocean itself. Immersion in all the languages, the clothing, the costumes, the food. Senator Kalani English has spent over 30 years working with leaders in the Pacific region. He's chair of the FestPAC 2020 Commission. I think we can learn something from his perspective on this major gathering of tribes. It's coming to Honolulu.
The homeland is coming to Hawaii. We have the entire Pacific Islands coming here. You know, there are 28 countries in the region, 28 entities in the region, and they're all sending delegates. So the smallest is Pitcairn with 57 citizens in their country. I've talked to their mayor, and, you know, the delegates can be up to 100. So we had a good joke. She said that, you know, they'll send the whole country and they'll leave the British commissioner there to feed the animals. So we'll, you know, we'll have people from some of the most remote parts of the Pacific.
What will they do?
It's to celebrate culture. It's to celebrate the fact that we're all one people in the Pacific. But, you know, the underlying theme is we're talking about climate change and we're talking about the survival of our islands into the future. So, you know, yes, it sounds like a really fun, and it is a very fun and festive event, and the discussions that will happen are substantive. We have to figure out how we're going to work together to deal with these immediate threats that are facing the very survival of the Pacific Islands, including Hawaii. You know, most people don't realize that Hawaii lost one island already. We used to have 133 islands. Now we have 132 islands. Way up north, one of our islands disappeared a few years ago, right, after a big storm. So it's hitting us in ways that people don't realize, and it's very, very quick.
So it's not just art and craft practitioners coming?
No. We have the Austronesian Language Conference, which is Taiwan bringing in all the top scholars from around the world on Austronesian language and history. We have the Pacific Philosophers Conference that's happening at the same time. We also have APIL, the Association of Pacific Island Legislatures, is having its General Assembly here as well.
Are you finding that it's just so great that you've got these connections to all these different places? Are you finding that the climate, that it's sea level rise that is the primary problem?
So sea level rise is happening throughout the entire Pacific. Think about countries like the Marshall Islands or Tuvalu or Kiribati. They're atolls. Some of them, you know, I use imperial measurements, right? So some of them are 4-6 feet above sea level. If there's a king tide, the entire atoll goes underwater. So there
now.
So in Majuro, the capital of the Marshall Islands, a few months ago, it was inundated. It went through the capital. Kiribati, you know, I go there probably once every 5 or 6 years. There are places that when I first started going there, there was a village. The last time I was there, it's about a foot underwater. So
and where are the people?
The people have moved inland or moved, because it's very little land, moves laterally. A lot of them are migrating. The very first climate refugees are coming out of the Pacific. And a lot
of
them.
How many of them do you think they are?
Well, there are thousands. You look at the Micronesian community here, the Marshallese community. People are here say, how can these people come from these beautiful islands, come to Hawaii and live in a park? But think about this. They used to have fresh water on their little island. The salt water came in. It inundated the fresh water. They no longer can raise food. So they had to leave. They had nowhere else to go. It's not their choice that they're homeless in a park, but they have something that they don't have at home, fresh water, dry land. So we are the recipients of some of the very first climate refugees in the world, even though we don't quite know it, right?
What's the budget for Festival of Pacific for Hawaii?
Well, so, you know, Hawaii, the legislature has put in about $2.4 million of what I would say is hard cash, real dollars. We have the Hawaii Convention Center that's given us half a million of cash, but also a lot of in-kind support. We have a lot of donations coming in. We have a fundraising effort ongoing right now that's asking our corporations and our Pacific partners to consider joining us, and we have different levels of sponsorship. So really what one of the major outcomes that we're hoping for from this Festival of Pacific Arts is that Hawaii reintegrates into the Pacific and the Pacific reintegrates into Hawaii. It's an opportunity for us to realign with the region and start working closely with our neighbors right next to us. A lot of business people come along because, think about it, 28 countries in one spot with your political, local, and local leadership all in one area. You know, what would take you 2 months of travel in the region, you can get done in one day at the Festival of Pacific Arts because everybody's here.
Are you expecting a visitor bump for Hawaii on this?
Yes, we are. There are Festival of Pacific Arts groupies around the world. You know,
yeah.
People that every 4 years will go wherever
yeah.
it is. A lot of people from the islands also come. We expect at the maximum 2,800 participants. That means delegates. You know, maybe 10 to 20,000 people actually attending the events. The numbers out of Guam, you know, for their event was about 90,000 people participating in the festival. It's at the Honolulu Convention Center from June 10th through the 21st. And, you know, we have rooms that can hold 25,000 people. So we're if we get that many people, we can accommodate them.
So exciting. I mean,
we will have canoes. The how and when of that is still being worked out.
I see. So, but will home base be at the convention center?
Yes. So the entire festival will be based at the convention center, and we'll have some satellite events at, like, Bishop Museum, Royal Hawaiian Shopping Center.
Hi, Sam's real excited.
Hi, Sam. Yes. You know, and so I'm trying to think now, how do we get some of the festivals to the neighbor islands? Again, it's a cost item. If we had the money, we would certainly do it, right?
Help me with that, though. Like for Guam, was this actually an expensive thing
yes.
for them to do?
Guam's, I think their final numbers was $18 million.
It cost them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And various forms. I mean, that's hard, what we call hard and soft cash, you know, real money as well as lots of in-kind.
Oh, that includes in-kind.
Yeah, it's all the in-kind. So, you know, I would say that we have enough to cover the expenses. Now we're raising monies to do the other things that we need, you know. So as host, Hawaii as host, we are responsible for food, housing, and transportation for the 2 weeks that everybody's here. And I'll put that in perspective. You know, we have been sending delegations out since 1976. Hawaii has gone to every Festival of Pacific Arts, and our people have been hosted each and every time. So this is our turn. It is a costly endeavor, but it also is one that that gives us great pride and gives us great meaning and helps us to revive cultures and revive our own culture and look inwards and look outwards and create the connections that can build cultural value for all of us here in Hawaii.
Pacific
why?
Pacific.
Well, and the Pacific is huge. I mean, that's the thing that people don't really understand is that, you know, it's the largest region in the world. And Hawaii is right in the middle of it, right? We're dead center in the middle of the Pacific. So the islanders look to us for a lot of guidance. You know, they want to talk about climate change. They want to talk about what we're doing, how we're dealing with coral reefs, regrowth of coral reefs, how we're dealing with sediment and runoff, how we're dealing with waste management. You know, and so in talking with the city yesterday, that's what I explained to a lot of the directors. It's like, you know, they're looking for some partnerships, like, you know, what are you guys doing? How does Hawaii deal with this?
Oh, super yeah. interesting.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. How to go forward from there. You know, the Pa'i contract,
mm-hmm.
How much was that for?
The original contract was for $1.2 million.
Uh-huh. Was it all used?
No. About 800,000 of that went towards the housing, food, and transportation. The contract was terminated by Pa'i, and it was on a very amicable terms. You know, we're still working with them. They're still supporting us. We're still supporting them. We reached a point where we had to really get a lot done, and so the commission went from an oversight commission to a working commission. Each of the commissioners took a chunk of the work, and that's our role now, our kuleana. So it's about a month since we've done this. A lot has come together. We've secured the opening and closing sites. So the opening is going to be at Iolani Palace. Closing site will be at Kapiolani Park. We're working on participation in the Kamehameha Day Parade for the delegates that want to participate. We've secured the sites for the Pacific Village, which will be in the promenade in front of the convention center. That's a city park, you know, that little promenade.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
One last thing, coronavirus. Mm-hmm. So what do you think?
Yeah, so we're more worried about measles. The coronavirus, according to the Centers for Disease Control, will peak very soon. They're saying by, beginning of March, should be the peak, and then it should start dropping. So we monitor this every day, but we're also watching others like measles. When we first started, we tried to recreate and recreate what the Pacific has had in the past. And as the commission evolved, we realized that we have to show a modern, vibrant city. We have to show Hawaii as a multi-ethnic, multicultural place in the middle of the Pacific. And so, we went from trying to recreate what was there to say, we're going to showcase Hawaii. That's why we did the convention center. That's why we're reaching out to a lot of unlikely partners, the unions. We've reached out to the unions and said, we need some manpower and some help to do this. We've reached out to Kamehameha schools to say, the princess's vision of education is a major component in this. Political leaders are going to be here, having them meet our political leaders. Along with that, it's all the business people that come. So it's almost like we're creating a think tank and a free thought zone for people in the Pacific to get to know each other in a cultural way, but also make the political and business connections that are needed as well.
Mahalo to Senator Kalani English for that update on the Festival of Pacific Arts and Crafts. FESPAC is set for June 10th to 21st at the Hawaii Convention Center. And while I'm updating you on festivals in Honolulu, you probably already know the Honolulu Biennial is now a triennial. That seems like a more Pacific pace. Melissa Chu, influential director of Washington, D.C.'s Hirshhorn Museum, is curatorial director for the Honolulu Triennial 2022. Also, the executive director, Catherine Tudor, has left, gone rather suddenly. Heather Shimizu from the Triennial Board is interim ED as an international search gets underway.